You have your Bibles tonight. Oh, before we do that, I forgot to announce it. almost forgot. That tonight, we need to pray, not only tonight, but keep praying, because tonight in Santa Barbara, they're having the crusade, the Harvest Crusade. And then this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it will be in Ventura. So keep praying that the Lord will use Craig to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people, and then they come to know Christ this weekend. So I need to see that. Now let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul the Apostle writing to the Roman Christians. Tonight my topic will be the call to preach the gospel. Out of Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17, let's read it. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our report? And so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, that's an incredible passage that Paul brings about concerning the call of God to every one of our lives to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, do you think that God has called you to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? The only one that can answer that is yourself, but the answer is yes. Every one of us are called to proclaim the good news. We are to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew 28, 19 and 20, what we know is called the Great Commission, Jesus said, Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, so be it. Then again, Luke in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I believe that there are too many people in the church today doing nothing for God, just existing for themselves, or the whole world, including, you know, some of the people that are in the church, are going to hell, perishing, without Christ, without hope. And then on the other side, we have a lot of people that have become spiritual moochers, I call them. They just sit, and they take, and they receive, but they never give anything in return. They just mooch off the church. And they go from one church to another church, and I call them church hoppers. You know, they go from one church to another church, and they never really settle down. They never really want to serve. They never really want to witness to anybody. All they want to do is hear the Word of God and become huge concerning the Word of God and get fat on God's Word, but never give anybody anything from themselves. And that's sad, because there are so many people like that. Yet let me ask you again, what are you doing personally with the gospel of Jesus Christ in preaching the Word of God? Think for a moment with me, because I remember when I first got saved many years ago, I can remember when the Holy Spirit was just really an incredible, way He was really moving and getting people saved back in the early 70s, and of course it started back in the 60s. And then through the 70s, in about the mid-70s, we not only saw hundreds and thousands of people coming to the Lord, and they were young people. Young people that had rebelled against society. Young people that really were tired of government and all kinds of things. and they were tired of drugs and alcohol and sexual experiences. And I can remember that when we used to come to Calvary Chapel, you could come on a Saturday night and you would see people standing outside waiting an hour and a half to get into the chapel. And when the doors would open, everybody would run in to grab a seat, and the floor would be covered, and the also patio was covered. And even back in the tent times, it was just like that. And when the message was given, when the altar call was given, hundreds would come to the Lord. And those people that were coming to the Lord, called the hippies, they went out and they began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. And every week, people were brought to Calvary Chapel. When is the last time you brought somebody to the Lord? The last time you brought someone to Christ. In your job, in your home, in the supermarket, at a gas station. You see, God has called us to give this incredible message of Jesus Christ to people because people are perishing, lost. They have no hope. And yet, the way I see the church today and I see people today, they don't even care for their loved ones. They don't care for their friends. They really don't care where people will spend eternity, but I do care where people are going to spend eternity. Because hell is a very real place, the Bible says. That's not as I was teaching through the Gospel of Mark in chapter 6. It talks about a demon-possessed person in the Gadarenes where he was actually chained up and he was cutting himself day and night. And Satan and the demons were trying to kill him every day of his life. And when Jesus saw him, the demon recognized who Jesus was. And he said, "Hey, our time has not yet come. Don't send us where you're going to send us. That is to the abuso, to the bottomless pit. To hell. To the lake of fire." They know that one day they're going to perish. They know that that's a very hot place. They know that's a place of torment. If I could give tours to hell, I don't think I could, but if I could, I would blow my mind because I have to only read the Bible, and I've read the story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 19, where the rich man and Lazarus died, and they went to hell before Christ ever risen from the dead. And it tells us a story that in hell these people have all five senses, even tonight, and every day of their life they wish to come back here and tell their loved ones about hell so they would not go there. But even though Jesus Christ died and rose again 2,000 years ago, people still today do not believe. And even if somebody would come back from the hell, people still would not believe. That's a bad idea. A lot of people, Christianity, relationship with God, it's kind of a joke. You know, something to do. But it's a life commitment. It's not a religion. It's a relationship, personal relationship, that can only come through Jesus Christ as I submit and surrender my life to Jesus Christ completely. No games. You've got to be straight shooter. When it comes to eternity, you've got to straight shoot. You don't want to miss eternity. You don't want to make a mistake that if you were to die tonight or tomorrow or the next day or 100 years from today, once you die, it's over. And the next life begins, which is eternity. Either in heaven or in hell, the Bible says. When I look at the world today in which we are living today, my heart is totally grieved because I wonder, how many are going to reach the world for Jesus Christ in the church? You got to travel around to see how the world is lost. I was in India and I got blown away. I've been to China. I've been to the Far East. I've been to Africa. I've been almost all around the world, and every place where I go, My heart breaks because there are so many people without Christ. So many people that are dying every day. They are going into eternity. My father-in-law is in a rest home right now, and I kind of visit him kind of weekly. And it's so sad to go into these places where these old people are in these rooms with their TV sets and their little pictures. And some of them, most of the time, they sleep, you know, or they're up, sitting on their bed. And it's so sad to see these people that have been forgotten by their loved ones. Forgotten. Mothers and fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers. They used to give to the family, but now they're totally forgotten. They're old and they're useless. You know, and whenever I can, I'll go visit them. Hey, where is the love of Christ in our hearts? To really be a Christian. To really be a Christian. And then I think of all these old people that are sitting there. And think about this for a moment. You go out all your life and you party hardy, and you have fun, you have money, you have fame, you have all these things, but you never ever do anything for Jesus Christ. And one day, if you live to be 60, 70, 80 years old in one of those homes, think of the torment you will have looking back on your life and knowing that you did nothing for God. Pretty heavy. We're going to be judged one day. The Bible says that. We're going to stand before God. And God is going to actually speak to our hearts. And we don't go out and tell people about Christ because we want brownie buttons or we want points with God. We don't do that. We do it because the love of Christ constrains me. When I see a bum on the street walking, without food, without clothes, some of them, you know, they don't supposed to be there, but they're there because they've had bad times. But how many times there's a real person that is poor and desolate and forgotten by society, and the Church of Jesus Christ just walks through like the old Jew or the old Samaritan went to the other side and went and ministered to the wounds of the one that was wounded. Something is wrong. We've forgotten who Christ is. Christ came to feed the poor. He came to heal the needy. He came to love people and to take care of people, not to destroy people or to cast away people. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. It is the good news. It is giving people hope of eternal life. It is being saved from sin and eternity and darkness. Every person here tonight has been called by God to preach the gospel right where God has placed you, in your community, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your school, wherever it is, God has called you to preach the gospel. Dr. Billy Graham said, "The gospel works anywhere and everywhere. It has been declared on every continent of the earth under every possible social and economic condition, and it always produces the same fruit." What's that? Souls. Souls for Christ. That's what we want to see. Souls for Jesus Christ. There are so many churches today that have lost their vision for the reaching of the world for Jesus Christ through the preaching of the good news and sending people out to the mission field, training them and sending them out. This man from Macedonia was saying, "Hey, come over here. We need you over here." And there's a man in Macedonia everywhere in the world calling for one of us to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have to count the cost. We need to have a heart like Jesus for people. Jesus had a real heart for people. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, listen to what he said. He said, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes," What did he do? He was moved with compassion for them. Compassion. Are you compassionate? When you see someone that is deep down in sin and they're destroying their lives, when Jesus saw them, he moved with great compassion. Why? Because they were worried and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." What's our job? To pray. To pray that God will send out laborers into the harvest. Why? Because people are perishing in Santa Ana. People are perishing in San Fernando. People are perishing in San Clemente. People are perishing everywhere in every city around the globe tonight that need Jesus Christ. Dr. Worsby said, "The purpose of the early church was to spread the good news and win souls, not to get involved in social action. Had the first Christians been branded as an anti-government sect, they would have been greatly hindered in their soul winning and their church expansion. While it is good and right for Christians to get involved in the promotion of honesty and morality in government and society, this concern must never replace the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." That's the mandate. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many churches have become friendly secret churches, not wanting to preach about sin and wanting to offend people in their churches, but making them feel good about themselves. Why they sit there and they hear the goody sermon and they're going to hell themselves. So sad that it happens. One radio preacher told his congregation that he would never mention the word sin from his pulpit. Never. How sad that is. If you can't mention sin, then what gospel do you have? It's so sad. If so many people will compromise their position because they want to be famous. They want to be known. And they don't want their churches to empty out. They want to see the multitudes and they want to tickle their ears. Instead of really preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we not preach the gospel and not mention the word sin? Sin is the word that sends people to hell. Sin sends people to hell. I like what Charles Spurgeon said, because there are so many times when we at the church, you know, we hear so much about carnality. You hear so many people say, "Yeah, brother, I'm a child of God, and man, I love God with all my heart." And then you watch their lives, and their wives are contradicting what the Word of God says. Charles Spurgeon said it so clearly. I've written this in my Bible. Listen to what he said. He said, "If the grace which I profess to have received leaves me exactly the same kind of person as I was before receiving it, then it is not New Testament salvation. The grace which does not drastically change my behavior will never change my destiny." And that is so true. The grace of God is the gift of God, unmerited favor given to me, a sinner that deserves hell, but God has given to me heaven. Why? Because I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And through that, I am now a new creature, and I'm supposed to be living a different life now. A life of victory. A life of obedience. A life with a passion in my heart, in my soul, to tell others about Jesus Christ. Every time when we read the Gospels and Jesus would touch somebody, the blind or the leper or whatever, they immediately would go out and tell people exactly what happened to them. They were excited. "Who touched you? What happened?" Jesus is the one that did it. And I think that when we come to Jesus Christ, when people come to the Lord, they're so excited and so happy to receive Christ. But then as the weeks and the months come along, and the years will begin to get very cold in our testimony about Jesus Christ. We become complacent in so many ways. We lose heart to what God saved us for. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. We're only visiting. And we only have certain seconds, minutes, and hours, and days, and weeks, and years that we're going to live, and then one day it's all going to come to an end. And then we're going to have to give an account to God. We're going to have to stand before God. Give an account of our lives. We have a duty to God, and a duty to man. To worship God, the Spirit, and the reality, and at the same time we have a message to give to people who do not know Christ. A message of hope. A message of love. Jesus constantly moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. When he saw them live at the Sea of Galilee. And he came to him with many, many, many needs. And yet I wonder, how do you see people today? When you go to the mall, when you go to the beach, when you go to the mountains, when you drive on the freeway, how do you perceive and how do you see people? Do you care for them? Do you care for them eternally? Why? Because one day, as I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, my Bible tells me that I'm going to be rewarded. My sin taken care of at the cross of Jesus Christ, that my works are going to be judged by the fire to see whether it's gold, wood, hay, or stubble. And whatever remains out of the fire, that's going to be my reward. And the Bible says there that there will be people there that when the actual rewards or your motives are cast into the fire, they're all going to burn up and nothing remains. And you will have nothing to show but the grace of God that was given to you to be in heaven. You never get anything for Jesus Christ like that. But God gave you so many opportunities. You didn't take the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Life is too short. God has called you, God has called me to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To proclaim it. Let me give you some of the things that I came up with as I was going through the Word of God. Why I believe we have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, I told you, because we have a hope of what? Of eternal life. In John 3:36, he said, "He who believes in the Son of God has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." The wrath of God abides in him who does not believe. But then at the same time, how does the gospel, or how is the gospel defined in Scripture? Let me give you a couple of things. Number one, it is defined as a supernatural origin, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:10, 11, 12, Paul the Apostle said this about the gospel. He says, "Do I not persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men. For neither I received it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation or the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ to me." The revealing of Jesus Christ, the gospel came to me. Secondly, it is defined as God's power, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16, 17, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You see? The gospel. The salvation. Thirdly, it is defined as a mystery that now has been revealed. Ephesians 6:19. For as for me, that utterance, Paul says, may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That God would give me the boldness to open my mouth and speak the word of God. Fourthly, it is defined as a revelation in Ephesians 3:1. For this reason, Paul said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given for me to you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been now revealed by the Spirit of God to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. See, the gospel is everywhere in the New Testament. Fifthly, it is defined as a deposit of truth. In 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, Paul says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you now stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I have delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. So Paul saying, whatever I got, I'm giving back to you. The same thing, I'm giving it to you, now you take it to somebody else. The gospel. Secondly, what is the source of the gospel? Number one, it is the source of all hope. Of all hope. Colossians 1:23 says, If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a servant. What is that? Secondly, it is the source of salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says that we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. And then fourthly or thirdly, it is a source of faith that we can have. Acts 15:7. And when there had been much dispute, Peter got up and he said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by the mouth of the Gentiles you should hear the word of the gospel and believe. See, faith and believe. Fourthly, it is the source of all life. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Jesus Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. You may have a lot of teachers, but I'm like a father to you. I've given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And fifthly, it is the source of immortality. 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, When He comes, Jesus, in that day, to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. People believe what we said. As a king of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the gospel should be proclaimed to who? Number one, it should be proclaimed to all people of the world. All people. Mark 16:15-16 says, And He said unto them, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Will be condemned. And then secondly, it should be proclaimed everywhere. Paul says in Romans 15:9-20, In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim, and here it is, to proclaim or to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Paul never ever went and proclaimed the gospel where there was already an existing church. Paul went where people were not even hearing about Christ. Not next to another Calvary chapel, or another assembly of God, or church of God. Paul says, go where the people don't know Christ, and tell them about me. And then Jesus said this too. He says the third thing, it should be proclaimed not only at all times, but it should be proclaimed with a great urgency in my heart. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid up upon me. Yes, here it is, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And then fifthly, it should be proclaimed with boldness. Don't be afraid to speak the gospel. Ephesians 6:19 says, and as for me, Paul, I would pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like that. Lord, make me bold, not to be afraid of men. My fourth and last point. What should be the believer's reaction to the gospel? Number one, he should be believing. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13 says, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit of promise. You believe, the Holy Spirit will seal you. Ownership. Secondly, it should be one of submission. Are you willing to humble yourself to receive Christ in your life and for Him to use your life? 2 Corinthians 9:13, Paul said, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Jesus Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and with all men. Paul submitted himself to God and to the gospel. And then thirdly, the gospel should be one that has been established. Romans 16:25. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. But now, it's there. It's open for anyone that wants Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then fourthly, it should be one that lives by the gospel. Don't just be a hearer of the word of God, you have to live by it. Philippians 1:27, I love. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Paul said this fifthly, there should be one that will defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:7 says, just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, in so much as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of the grace of God. And then in verse 16, for the former preached Christ of selfish ambitions, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you're standing fast in one spirit, one mind striving together for the one faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news. And yet there are so many people that will never hear the gospel. And there will be so many people, even in this building tonight, that will never, ever share with anyone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you don't have a compassion, you don't have an urgency in your heart. Hey, think of this, somebody shared the gospel with you. Now you need to share with somebody else. If we really believe that Jesus Christ was coming again soon, and we believe heaven and hell, let me tell you something. This church, and every church, every time we have a service, it would be so jam-packed. It would be an urgency. But there is no urgency today. If it's a nice day, I'll go to the beach. If it rains, I'll go up a mountain and snowboard. We're like a roller coaster in our relationship with God. Hey, we've got to be steady. Sacrifice. Sacrificial living. Jesus Christ, number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. All of you that are here single, don't be looking for a girlfriend or a husband or a wife, because God's not going to give you one. I'm going to pray He doesn't give you one. You know why? Because you're not supposed to be looking. In the book of Genesis, it says that Adam and Eve, what? Adam was alone. Did Adam go fishing for a girl? No way. The Bible says that God brought the woman to the man, and what happened when he looked at her? Hey, this was God's choice. Sometimes I hear these guys, oh man, God gave me the wrong one. Now you got the wrong one. God never gave you the wrong one. You make the choice. You got to wait on the Lord. If you want God's best, hey, get married to Jesus Christ first. And let the Lord take care of the rest. Because if you don't, you say, well, what about if God brings me 4'4"? You know? Hey, if God brings you that, be happy. That's God's best. But we're so choosy. You know, we're always, oh, well, Lord, I want, perfect, tall, blonde. I hope He gives you an ugly one. I would pray tonight. I would pray, seriously, as the gospel is given out for each one of us here, that if you're here tonight and you're kind of sitting here saying, well, you know, it's got a nice church, and you know, maybe you come every Monday night, kind of cool, you know, hear the music, hear the message. It's cool, but I tell you what, the longer you sit in this church, the greater the judgment. People tell you that. Every Calvary Chapel, every church that preaches the cross of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you sit in that church every week and you're not doing anything about it, hey, judgment will come sooner or later. You have to make a choice. Don't be a worm, worm on the bench. Get off and do something about your relationship with Christ. Let God use your life. And you know what's so cool? That God doesn't want anybody to perish, at all to come to repentance. And God never, ever forces anybody to go to heaven. If you want to go to hell, you can go to hell. That's just the way it is. That's what God says. But if you want to go to heaven, you want all your sins to be forgiven, cleansed, and washed, and God gives you the opportunity. The opportunity we're going to give you tonight. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you want your name to be written in the book of life, everything in your past, in the present, and the future, if you want it totally erased and forgiven, and you want the love of God in you, and you want to become a new person, then God will do that tonight if you step out by faith and obedience and repent of your sins. He will do that. And I'm going to ask you in front of everybody there. I don't care who's here. I'm going to ask you right now to get up out of your seat and come up here to the front. If you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to get up right now and come. I don't care who you are, where you are. You get up and you come. We're not here to entertain anybody. We're here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are, if you're here, you can sit there all you want. You want to get up, you come up here. The Bible says you can't even come to Christ unless it is the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit spoke to you, you get up and come. Tonight the same way you came, empty, without hope, without Christ. In all of your problems and all of your sins, Jesus Christ tonight will take you in. If you're willing to repent, if you're willing to come and humble yourself before God and man. And I'm going to ask you again, if you're here, don't wait. Get up and come. We're going to worship again. Get up and come now.
Taste the living water.
You know, one of the things, the problem that happens is that whenever you sit in a congregation like this, whether it be a concert or Sunday morning or whatever, every time you say no to the Holy Spirit, there's a little bit of callousness in the heart. And it gets harder every time. Sooner or later, the devil will say, you know what? Too many times, you know, you don't need to go up. And the Holy Spirit keeps pursuing after us because He loves us. And because He sees the dangers of hell. What Satan has come to do, to rob, steal, and kill. And he's messed up so many people's lives. And he continues to do that. But Christ wants to restore your life. He wants to give you another opportunity. He wants to use your life. Anybody else? I feel there's more of you. You can sit, and you can sit, and you can come. We're going to sing it one more time, okay? You get up and you come now. Father, we thank You so much for Your loving grace and mercies and for these people that have come tonight. We pray for their souls. We pray, Father, that You protect them, watch over them, and anoint them. And that You would keep them, Father, in Your fold. Those of you that have come tonight, I want you to pray with me this prayer. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Repeat after me this prayer. And ask Christ in. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. I confess to You that I have sinned against You. I ask You to cleanse me, to wash me by Your blood. And I want to receive You is my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. If you would like further information on tapes or our free catalog, contact the Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.